Very often the difference between winning and losing is attitude. Welcome to Dr. Sid E. Williams' latest talk on how you can take charge of your life. Dr. Sid has helped thousands enjoy a healthy, loving, and successful life utilizing the principles he will discuss today. And now, Dr. Williams.
Someone asked me, said, who is that guy with the tick walking around in the hall out here? And I said, he's the guy that teaches the relaxation program at the DE meeting. Majority of my talk this afternoon is going to be centered around talking to the friend within. Talking to the friend within who has always done our wishes and executed our will, and who is currently executing our will, the friend within. Now, many people are not conscious of the friend within. They think it kismet come along and kissed a certain amount of people out here and give them extraordinary powers and a lot of luck and a lot of goodwill and a lot of success, not realizing that something inside of themselves that is being directed by the light that never fails. That light is us, the I am consciousness, which we all are capable of changing courses and changing directions. And I think that it's important that, especially at DE, we've been through all the tumultuous aspects of chiropractic. We've been on the front line in government recognition, Medicare recognition, academic accreditation of two colleges, ICA demise, ICA success. Currently, we're in a struggle to preserve the ICA from now on. I think that it's important that we people who are concerned about fundamental principles of chiropractic, the alternative approach to health care, the non-therapeutic aspects of a primary provider, I think that those of us who share allegiances to the difference between therapeutic and the newness of what chiropractic has brought about, I think that it behooves all of us to study more acutely what it is that we direct this giant within to do. Because unbeknowing to a lot of us and a lot of people in all ages and all ranks of society, in our profession, out of our profession, families, all over the world, various levels of school, almost nothing is being taught to people of how to communicate and to talk and to come into close relationship with the friend within. Now, many people call this aspect unjustifiably, or maybe justifiably, the innate consciousness. I think that we of all races, of all professions, know more about the innate wisdom or the camaraderie of life, the uniqueness of life, the oneness of life within beings than any other profession, including the ministerial groups in our great world. Because we know intimately and we observe intimately what happens to people when they are allowed to get into harmonious attunement with their own life, their own being, their own strength, their own love, their own wisdom, that we are all a part of. I think it's a great mystery to a lot of people. And if I want all of these goals and I want all of these objectives, why haven't I fulfilled them? And I think that it's important for us to know this. To know that we know, that we know, that we know beyond consciousness that this thing we are speaking about It's not some magical relationship, some ethereal procedure that we are blessed with or not blessed with a lack of. I think that we, above all other groups, the professions, recognize more about fundamental law that's available equally within us. I think that we are the promulgators, the leaders of the future, to teach people more about the friend within and what's available. And I think that a lot of peace can be incurred in people's consciousness. A lot of fear can be removed, a lot of remorse, a lot of regret, a lot of frustration, a lot of hate, a lot of greed can be removed from our consciousness, or this incessant bombardment of chatter that goes on in our inner consciousness that interferes with the consciousness of life, consciousness of universal intelligence, consciousness of God that goes on in us. I think that there's a definite way. I think that this group knows more about it, had more in touch, more attunement, to know how to cause to cease to interfere with what we set out to do as individuals, the I am consciousness, the light within us that never goes out, that part of us that can activate and can take that giant within us and turn it loose into a direction that's been pre-planned, pre-programmed, pre-controlled to the exclusion of all the traditions that have been passed on to us from childhood, perhaps even beyond childhood, in utero. I think that we know more about it, have more touch, more consciousness, more awareness to watch the unfoldment of changes that take place from coming to DE, having our consciousness elevated, having our consciousness lifted, being in a group of speakers that know about the perfection of life or the perfection of innate willful consciousness in a physical body that can restore health. I think it's important for us to realize that all of these other people out here have no idea, no earthly consciousness, except in some minuscule idealism. The body heals itself. While they pour on and pour on and pour on various treatment procedures to alter and to bring into a state of being, to cause this life of us to respond in a certain way which we call health. I think that there's a lot of us that as we grow in our understanding, we come more fond and more in love with and share more camaraderie with inner understanding, because we watch daily the least we do to people in many, many instances, the greatest significance toward health. So I want to alert everybody's consciousness to this meeting that we're going to talk a lot about the friend within. If that friend is so powerful and so significant and so rewarding to us, does our every bidding, why don't we have specifically and objectively the greatness that some of our people manifest almost overnight when they experience a change within themselves? Why is it that some people can be ultra successful or ultra unsuccessful, just weak, insignificant peons, and come here and have something touched within themselves that lights up a light that never goes out, that causes other lights, other lamps to be lit? Why can't that, if it's a natural law, if it's a natural law that people are sick because of subluxations? That's our fundamental principle. Isn't that correct? That we passed on beyond therapeutic procedures that heal, treat, and cure people. This has been going on for millions and millions and millions of years. That we treat the body, we do something to it, we stimulate it, we inhibit it, we cause it to be, we cause it to react, we cause it to respond. We know that if we're successful in our work, now you new people in here, you're coming into the chiropractic thing here. We know this. One thing we are not yoked into, the weakest link in chiropractic success consciousness for anybody, for all of us, is to think that we are some insignificant, uneducated, ill-prepared worm of a professional that doesn't know the latest scientific procedures. Our principles are uniquely different, yet universally exposed. Since the beginning of time, our principle has been here. September the 18th, was a very, very significant day. I saw a sculpture here the other day in Phoenix. Someone had it out where the Greeks in 400 B.C. were showing, making a manipulative procedure on the mid-dorsal. I think that's significant. I think that it's significant that manipulative procedures have been used since the beginning of time. Every animal knows some manipulative procedure innately, instinctively. But I think that it's more significant that the chiropractors have endured more about this principle of the expression of life and the greatness and the development of our profession as we've grown into it. In evolving and projecting this principle out. I think that one of the greatest fundamental things for us to come to grips with, along with the understanding of the friend within and what to tell the friend within, what the friend within will do, how much action, how much activity, how much causative action is the subconscious aspects of our mind. If we truly, as individual practitioners, if we truly understood the magnitude of what we are for, if we truly understood the relationship of what we do with the adjustment and its relationship to all other maladies, if we truly saw it, if this subconscious aspect, this innate consciousness driven by an innate universal mind, if the individual truly saw himself in a picture to whether he accepted the possibility beyond doubt, accepted this understanding in full faith, and he saw within his mind's eye the completed picture of hundreds of thousands of people surging into his office. And I think on that statement there, those of you that are blessed with that simplistic attitude, that simplistic concern, that you see your role as a professional, primary provider, capable of diagnostic conclusions, I might add, educated with perfection in this field of expertise, but you see in your spiritual eye the unlimited possibility of the work that you are capable of the work that we have set out to do, of the reason that we are here. Along that line, I think we put an awful lot of energy and an awful lot of concern, an awful lot of love, an awful lot of organized planning to get ourselves worked harmoniously in with the health delivery system. That's a word that we didn't used to use years ago. Work ourselves into the health delivery system. Now we are in it. I don't think that it's a time for us to weaken our strength and weaken our resolve and weaken our understanding for the sake of the system, for the sake of social recognition, I think it's a time for us to strengthen ourselves and to rededicate ourselves to who we are and what we are and what the significance of our work is. And then learn what it is that makes the great men great and the strong men strong and the big practitioners big. What is it that projects 8-10 new patients a day into someone's office up the street from you? And they won't come into your office. What's the difference? Why can one work and one advertise and one love and one serve and one give? And it not work? If the friend within works exclusively for you, can you imagine having a friend that would bring you success in whatever manner? Whatever manner that you choose and are able to communicate with this friend, do this. Do it in this manner. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And everything that we do or able to communicate, I think the old folks have used to say that the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the eating. Well, the proof in our capability and our ability to communicate our desires and our wishes and our service ideals is what is being given to us. Are we being externally motivated? Are we reacting to every hateful, social, economic, professional aspect, family, familial ties? Couldn't get the word out. Are we reacting and responding? Do we have definite plans? Do we have an incessant, conscious bombardment that we have habitually? Key word. That we have habitually chosen this course of action with this verbiage to hand over to this friend in this manner to produce this result. If I drop this pack of keys, no one here conscious of chiropractic recognizes that it won't fall. Yet the significance of what I've just described, very few understand the mechanisms of incessant, habitual conceptualization, creation of ideas, goals, and frameworks that are turned over, completed, to the friend within. And if the friend within has a set of blueprints completed with full faith of its fulfillment, what's to be expected? So if I were going to start a practice out next week or tomorrow, if I wanted to be a chiropractor, I would wipe out all negatives. I would prove to my consciousness beyond all doubt or my understanding of this fundamental truth which we in chiropractic know so intimately. And I would develop into my consciousness a willingness, to accept all cases, regardless of the condition or the financial ability to pay. I would develop a love and an enthusiasm. I would develop a consciousness within myself that I knew that if I saw the unlimited potential for chiropractic with me in the picture, and I was willing to accept all cases, regardless of the condition of the financial ability to pay, within proper diagnostic confines of professional people, what could I expect Monday morning? I could expect a deluge of people if I were able to reach into this consciousness and tell this friend whose entire objective of being with me, my friend, my personal friend within, If I can prepare the plan, if I can develop the goals, if I can develop the objectives, and present them in the right picture with the knowledge that it's already happened, not with the knowledge that maybe, someday, perhaps, I'll just work halfway, I'll do a little of this, a little of that, I'll get my social esteem, I'll make my greatest goal in life, my social accomplishments, the fulfillment of my greedy, selfish desires, or what I want. I'm speaking about to the exclusion of a single goal and a single purpose. Definite major purpose. I'm not speaking about a definite major purpose of a young professional who goes to school and said, I want to retire at 30. I am going to retire at 30 years old. He's in practice 2 weeks. A brilliant idea flashes into his consciousness. I should go out and tie up all of this real estate in the whole block out here. I don't have any money. But I should tie it up if I'm to retire at 30. I know I look out and see these young people sitting out here, and a lot of our consciousness is inside. We wonder why our big business. Where's our giant chiropractic practice? I look over to the next guy sitting next to me. I hear he does 400 visits a week, 600 visits a week. I'm ashamed I do, at a maximum effort, 125 visits a week. Yet I want to retire at 30. And I've got this brilliant idea. We're going to tie up the real estate, and we're going to tie up the tomato market. We're going to tie up pork bellies. Whoa! We're going into the market. But I'd like to have a great chiropractic practice. I'd like to be able to serve a lot of people, but they won't come in. Why do we keep getting all these incessant ideas of money-making schemes, ideas, plans, and programs? Because that's what we ask. Because the goals are not correct. The planning is not there. I'd like to ask a question of this of all of us. This is how really simple it is. Would you work for $500,000 a year? Would you work for $650,000 a year? If someone came up to you, I'm saying this to you. I will give you $650,000 per year, your part. And the question only has to be asked, would I work for that? Would I surrender my entrepreneurial efforts of chance for a fixed income of $500,000? I don't mean gross in the business, I mean my part. Well, our DE is going to tell you and teach you and show you and give you the ideas, the ways, the idealisms, the objectives, the plan, the modus operandi, the intensity, the direction, the coaching, the monitoring, the evaluation, to put you in a position that if you will do this in a sequential manner with the intensity, that's the one thing. Would you work for the $500,000 a year? 12 to 14 hours a day? 5 to 6 to 7 days per week? With your own idealism, with your own pace. But you got paid $50,000 per month. Would you work 14 hours a day incessantly? Would you control the emotions, the minds, the goal-setting ideas? Would you adopt this as your definite major purpose in life? To serve sick people? 600 visits a week. Can you get yourself into the attitude that it takes to work for 300 bosses? That's all it requires. Will you work for 300 bosses to their expectations? Do you know what they expect of you every time for this $500,000 a year? Just perfection. They only want all of you. Every spiritual piece of you, if you expect to shop in this category. We hear about these great athletes. They're professional. First year, 65, then 75,000, then 100. Then when he proves he can hit consistently 2 or 3 years, one more out of 10, his income jumps to $1 million a year. How much incessant preparation does the ball player do? Do the basketball player? To the gambling professional? To any professional who's in the $1 million bracket? That's all it takes. If you're going to shop at the $500,000 net class, I'm offering the job. All you've got to do is get yourself prepared to do 600 visits per week. Do everything perfect and give of yourself incessantly to keep the business. Follow the rules. Follow the plan. Follow the program. Follow the method. With incessant preparation. I think we talked about 20 years ago about 3 cardinal attributes of the successful person. Native endowment. Painstaking preparation. Long days and sleepless nights. Are you running a 3-day-a-week practice? While you're sitting in the practice incessantly thinking about get-rich-quick schemes, vacations in the Bahamas, tours all over the world, working 3 days, little preparation, turning it all over to your CAs? Are you thinking in terms of, now I will broaden myself. I'll hire another CA. I'll hire another assistant. I'll open 3 more offices. That way I'll get my 600 or 700 visits a week. Is that what this guy does that's got to hit that 310 every year, 325 in baseball? Or is he down in the winter league? Or is he like Connors and this McEnroe and all these other great tennis professionals who have a coach sitting in the stands that tells them that the racket wasn't slanted right, your attitude wasn't just right, your approach is not right, you're hitting behind the ball, you should be hitting out front of the ball, you should be stepping into it, where it's a 24-hour-a-day incessant preparation of how to win? Are we paying that kind of price? Or are we just talking $500,000 a year? Are we searching for another consultant and another program and another way of filling out the insurance form to take a capability of 100 visits a week and teach me how to get $80 a visit out of this patient? I'm not knocking money, by the way. I'm talking about what your mind is on. What are we telling the friend within that we want? Is it social esteem that we want? Are we overcoming some fear? I talked to one of my friends sitting on the front row here from New York. I saw him standing out front here. In the past, I've seen a young boy. Today, I saw a man. I said, you've had an attitude change, haven't you? I said, you got a firmness where I used to see an adolescent, I saw a made-up mind. A made-up mind. A lot of Christian philosophy teaches you that when you're going to come to grips with the understanding of the fundamental Christian philosophy, make up your mind. made-up mind. Now, chiropractors who want to be principled chiropractors make up their mind. Now, those of you that are not experiencing the lift, the principled lift, not experiencing the 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 new patients a week, and are stuck, literally hung on 5 to 10 visits a week, and the poverty level in your practice, and it just won't go over. I was reading an article the day before yesterday, and I've heard the story before. Someone wanted to know what the most significant, profound words in the English language. The guy said, of course, Shakespeare said it. To be or not to be. I thought that was real good. It's to be successful or not to be successful. To achieve my goals or not to achieve my goals. And the more I thought about it, the better I liked it. To work or not to work. To retire or not to retire. To grow or not to grow. Make the choice. Then I remembered what Mary Kay had to say. Well, Mary Kay had been in the front line quite a while. And she was talking about Shakespeare's words. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. And she said, to be or not to be is fine language. Very eloquent. She said, but the 10 most significant two-letter words that I've ever known to found to be beneficial to elevating a person's stature in life are these. If it is to be, it is up to me. I hope all of you can remember that. It took me a long time to remember. 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. I think one thing that we can learn about, that we can change. I hope there's a lot of people here at this meeting. There's quite a few new people here for the first time. And some of you old people that have been here many times. I was kidding up here when I was making my preliminary remarks. Dr. Smeltzer here and Frank Gilbert over here, my dear friends from New York, who went on the trip with us to Moscow, gave $15,000 apiece. That says something. Dr. Braille went to Moscow with us too. Ron here said he'd been to DE 8 years. He heard little bits and pieces of it. Finally, he began to apply what he heard. Long days of preparation, sleepless nights if necessary, to become eminently prepared. What does a football coach talk about when he studied and he studied and he studied and he studied, he couldn't go home for a month? Or a great athlete who practices one stroke 2 hours after he fails in one shot? That's what I asked Ron to do 10 years ago. He tried every externally motivated, external preparation, external scheme to tune in. But never to the extent that he had prepared and prepared and prepared and prepared to where it was an automatic part of his consciousness. If you want to make that $500,000, start preparing. We are professionals. You have the talent because your credentials say you have the talent. It's real easy. And when I speak of preparation, painstaking preparation, just look at this magnificent structure up here. I would think that the Real Vista Palace, architectural conceptualization drawn out by professionals to the extent of every bolt, every screw, every piece of material, every wire was pre-planned. Did you know that? There's a stack of plans that you couldn't fit into this room. Stop them at the door, Jar. Both of them. You couldn't take the plans and the preparation of this structure, this building, this facility, and put them in this room. And it cost at least $10 million of professional help to draw this conceptualization, to plan it. Now, just because we've graduated from a chiropractic college, we have the certification that says we are professionally prepared. That doesn't mean that we have the entrepreneurial interest or the idealism or the will. To conceptualize not a 30-year retirement plan, not early pre-planned vacation homes. What should our goals be? I hope D.D. went over them partially up here. 10-point working plan. Perfect the 10-point working plan. If you're a football player and your mission is to kick the ball between the goalposts, develop a sequential, three very simple procedure to watch the ball, to take the right step, make the swing, make the follow through. It goes through the opening. His definite major purpose in life is to kick the field goal. What do you think? They're all this agonizing worry out there. To keep himself calm. To remember the simple steps, the procedure, kick the ball through the goal. Is he worrying about early retirement? If he works for this guy for the Chicago Bears, named Ditka, if he misses three, he might have early retirement. He might be choked on the sidelines. Because he hired this person. Because his ultimate, definite, major accomplishment in life is to kick little field goals. The tackles have a niche, a place. The ends have a place. The quarterback has a place. His definite, major goal and purpose in life in this area of specialization is to accomplish his job. To see $500,000 a year, you simply must get into the attitude that you can see 100 people a day. Very simple. Where does that start? Do you see it's possible? No, I don't think it's possible. I can't see 100 patients a day. If you can't see 100 patients a day or get yourself prepared to, I can assure you that the chances are that you won't see 100 patients a day. Even if you have to give it away and make it free, what difference does it make? 100 patients a day, I'm paying $500,000 per year. Because when one doesn't pay, others will. There are other services under today's setup. I'm not speaking about the chiropractor who has just one service. We've got 10 services to provide that are related to this correction of the cause of the restoration of life back in these people. Things are changed. There's a different attitude. There's a different conceptualization. There's a different recognition. There's a different power out in the field. The thing we fought for all of these years, recognition professionally. And I'm saying this because some of our fundamental guys keep trying to live like it was in 52 or 53 or 60. We change with the times, except in the fundamental aspects of who we are and what we are and the providing of our basic services. That doesn't change. But the services we can provide professionally within our area of expertise has been greatly enhanced. So don't let that one of your colleagues down the street who's in personal injury work, medical examinations, various certifications. If you don't think he's practicing chiropractic, take another look. Services that he's capable, services that we all fought to get to that position, to where we could say licensure, primary health care provider, conservative, non-surgical, non-drug care, capable of diagnostic conclusions within our area of expertise, capable of legal court certification testimony, and all the other services that we are capable of providing. I don't think we can ask the chiropractic profession to go back. I don't think that the thing we ask to go forward on for this recognition, that it's here, I don't think we should fight it. Provide the service. The most severe boss of all, to all the strong-willed people with definite, major purpose. That one little phrase right there, definite, major purpose. To see 500 to 700 visits consistently per week. Put that in your consciousness. Develop the will and serve and serve and serve to the capability that you're expected. What was the first expectation? I, as a patient, want all of you. I want a total person. I don't want any other thought patterns or processes in between my relationship with you. When I shake your hand or you shake my hand or you have an eye contact with me, I expect, and my innate expects, and the life of me expects total gift. Getting down to the bottom line now. The $500,000? Are you willing to get into the state of consciousness that you'll give it all, every time, to the exclusion of all else? You can go too far. You can run off, you leave your wife, your children, your family. That's not what I'm asking you to do. That has to be tempered. You have to understand that when you develop this talent and cut loose, and you start watching the stream and start drifting with the stream, not clinging to any leaves in the stream or to any barnacles on the side. You're just floating and floating and floating, and that becomes your perfection, to stay in the stream. Is that what you're willing to give up? That's all it's got to be. That's all that's required, because you've got the talent. Even a tarantula, you say, I can't have all the friends he's got. You don't have to have your colleagues' friends. You don't have to have the gibberish of a incessant personality. Be you. The love that expresses through you is recognized by the friends who are capable of contacting you. The problem is that we never center. We never ask humbly. We never give up all of these barnacles to service. Can we develop a willingness at this meeting here, regardless of your fee system? Can you develop a willingness in the spiritual aspects of your inner being, the innermost inner part of your being? Can you give 150 visits away a day? Can you build that kind of practice? Would you be willing to do it for $50,000 per month. Could you do it? Would you do it? That's all you got to ask. And if you can get into the attitude that, and when it, that voice inside says, decisively, I am. When you say that with power, knowing that you're willing to give all of this service to every being, free if necessary, and with all the conduct, the love, the consideration, the willingness, the sacrifice, with all of that tied in one package, knowing that that's attached to it, can you build a practice? Remember, the subconscious mind, through the innate consciousness, has no respect of fees, has no respect of volume, if you see it. That transcends all of these other aspects. The conceptualization of this great Buena Vista Palace was made possible by the vision of some person. Some group of individuals created every nut, bolt, screw, wire, light, bulb. Didn't it seem almost beyond the creative imagination of man to take every screw in this building, every color, every fabric, every material, every wire, and pre-plan it? Are we exercising that kind of expertise to get myself, us as individuals, into an attitude to where we can give ourselves unselfishly? Can you give unselfishly? You ever aspire to give it unselfishly?
For a continuation of this exciting and informative talk by Dr. Sid E. Williams, you may now stop the cassette and turn it to side 2.